I gotta go turn down my air conditioning. It's cold in here.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck you. Go to hell and die. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 7th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti in my scorching room. No AC. Can't stand it. I'm miserable.
Mike, this is what happens when you build a secret volcano lair.
I guess so. That's AJ. He's here too. Whoop-dee-doo. Right. Yeah, I'm a little, how would I put
it?
I was going to say ornery, but that's not really right, is it?
It's somewhere above ornery, right in the feisty, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, so I'm... whatever. See, I'm just so mad about being hot. I can't even talk. I'm just sweating. I'm sitting here in SpongeBob SquarePants briefs and nothing else.
Well, great, now I have a fantastic visual for the rest of this recording.
Yeah, you're all welcome for that. Welcome to the goddamn show. Hope you like it. We're going to start off with the news. Is the news any good, AJ? How is that?
Yeah, I got some stuff I like.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Then we got, let's go topical. We'll get to the community question from last week, and we have a new one. That'll be fun. Maybe more than one of you fuckers will answer it this week, huh? The hell with you guys.
So hostile today.
I know, it's hot down here. You don't get it, Edge guy. You just don't get it. I do not like the heat. I am a hairy man. I need cold. All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah, we'll talk about the crappy games we've been playing this week. That's not true. They've been good.
Yeah, they've been really good.
Actually, what have I played? I guess I'll figure that out when we get to the segment. Then we'll talk about the releases. I'm sure nothing interesting is coming out, and then that'll be the show. Then we can all go off our miserable air conditioning less lives.
Okay.
First.
Let's see, we got some Diablo 3 craziness. They're starting... What?
Everybody's gonna whine.
Yep.
Woo, woo, woo.
They've started some...
That's
some
the whining police.
The whambulance.
That's right, the whambulance. I can't even get it right. It was the whining police. Not even making any sense. The heat's going to my head. I'm delirious.
Take a break. Let me talk for a minute.
Okay. What's up about Diablo 3? I have not even heard of this yet. Please tell me. I didn't read about this earlier in the week on every gaming site.
People come to hear our commentary.
I know. Our commentary is incredibly insightful. Let's go. I got so many comments on this shit.
So let's see. They announced some details for the beta that'll be coming, except they really didn't.
Then
they said...
That's some great non-news to start off with. There may be a beta, maybe.
Bombshell number one.
Cool.
They're going to have real money auctions in the game.
Oh, no.
So here's how it works. There's two tiers of it. I don't know if you caught this. Because, like, Blizzard, just like eBay, they kind of get their little cut. So...
Mm-hmm.
You could get the money from your auction, have it stay in your Battle.net account, then you could use that money on other Blizzard services, which I presume to mean, though they didn't outright say this, using it to buy other auctions, and I don't see why you wouldn't be able to use that money to pay for, like, WoW subscription time.
Well, that's interesting. So
yeah.
I could play Diablo 3...
To fund your WoW addiction.
To farm items so I can fund playing World of Warcraft. Man, this is a brave new world, isn't it? Wow,
exactly.
Look where we are now. I'm going to play one game so that I can afford to play a different one. Holy shit.
Now, the other thing, then, is if you can then get it turned into actual real-world money, the Blizzard then takes a bigger cut if you're going to do that.
Now, see, this is why I always wondered. Like, what's going to be the ratio here? Like, an item that's worth 900 gold, how many dollars is that worth to somebody?
Well, it's all player auction housing, so it's just going to be market-driven.
Like, let's assume, though, if you're just one guy farming, the chances of finding an item that somebody would want to pay $20 for, you'll probably find, like, two of those through a playthrough? So you can't make a living doing this, right? Unless, you are batshit crazy.
What's the thing? I mean, granted, it's not going to be the same game, but I mean, playing Diablo 2, I never felt like, oh, these uber awesome items I found in the course of a regular playthrough aren't uber awesome enough.
Well, yeah,
I could find more.
To be honest, I always think I would not use this thing at all. I think that kind of defeats the whole purpose of playing Diablo. The whole point of it.
If someone wants to buy my stuff, I don't mind. I don't foresee myself buying anything myself.
It's almost the same reason why I don't even like trading Pokemon when I play Pokemon. The whole point to me is that these are the things I find while I'm playing the game. Like Diablo 2 was never about the multiplayer aspect. Even that was always very side whatever to me. When I played Diablo 3, I'm probably not gonna play it online. I'll probably try co-op with you. I bet we won't get very far. I'll just play it by myself till I beat it, and that will be my Diablo 3 experience.
Oh, but Mike, you will play Diablo 3 online.
Well, you know what I mean.
All the
got
time.
Me. Well.
Because later this week, they announced that it will require persistent online connection. First, everyone cried foul. People still cry foul.
Well, sure, they do.
Blizzard came to defend it. Their defense kind of makes sense, because unlike the Ubisoft PC DRM, which is just, you have to be online for DRM, their online connection is actually be motivated by gameplay. It's that you have access to these auctions, all the other social features in the game. Plus, what they're doing is, you may recall in Diablo 2, you basically had two separate online modes, like the Battle.net online and then Open Battle.net, and only on Open Battle.net could you use your single player character because they were so easy to hack.
Well,
so basically by putting everything online, you can't hack, you can't mod.
That's what it really is, that you can't use a mod, like, you know, you can't go offline, use a mod to get 20 incredibly rare items, then put them on the auction house when you go back online. Now that we have real money involved, the police are going to come down on this. When I say police, I mean the Blizzard police.
And they still could have done the separation of single player and online character, but they said they wanted to get rid of that, so you just have one character you play.
I
can understand it.
I mean, I wouldn't have cared either anyway, because, like, to me, I would do that. I would have I'm going to have a character I'll play online with, and I'm just going to have my character. I mean, I guess, you know, it's nice that I could do both. Like, I know some people are games that, for me personally, I am always connected to the internet, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pretend to be that outraged about it. I just can't. I would like to be, maybe. All those people complain a lot. It must be fun because they do it all the time. So maybe I wish I could complain, but I really don't have a reason to. Well, all this shit is happening because we are always connected to the internet now.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's the reason why. Like, when aren't you connected to the internet? Airplane? That's not even going to be true anymore. In the 10 minutes before you take off in an airplane, I guess, you can't go online. But you can't have a powered device on anyway, so I don't know. Maybe if you live on a desert island, you are, man, sucks
for you. You know what I've been doing for a week? Because, since I thought my lease is up a month sooner than it was, I already canceled my internet. I've been tethering 4G off my phone for a week, and actually it works really well.
That's what I was doing when I was at E3, because, all their wireless, all the wireless there was terrible, so I just tethered the entire time it worked. The internet is everywhere. We don't need to worry about it.
You were tethering the entire time?
Practically.
That's why your battery life sucked.
No, AJ, that wasn't the only time I was using your phone. Trust me, your phone's terrible. But, I mean, unless I was in the Target Lounge. The Target Lounge at E3 was like fucking Eden. Like, surrounded by godless, internetless lands of Cain and Abel murdering each other over crappy Wi-Fi signals. Next.
Paint a vivid picture.
Thank you.
Okay, this story's for you, Mike. Firefall is coming out in December. This is the free-to-play MMO first-person shooter.
Is Firefall going to beat that Tribes game to the market?
It may.
I mean, if it beats that Tribes game, it's going to be PlanetSide 2, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, Firefall looks really interesting. For people who don't really know, because a lot of people don't know about this, it's a free-to-play MMO FPS, kind of. Now, I don't know the extent to how MMOE it is, but it seems like
what we played at PAX felt like pretty standard team deathmatch.
But the idea is that your character is persistent and that he levels up. It's not like Team Fortress 2 where I'm going to play a scout and I'm, you know, I might have some different items than other people, but we're all scouts. No, you'll like level up, learn skills, attributes, all that stuff. The difference is that, and there is some sort of, bless you, there is some sort of, like, world map or whatever. But, yeah, you do, like, go into Team Deathmatch. But, you know, think of that almost like in World of Warcraft. You would go to a Battlegrounds. Yeah, I was like, whatever the hell they call those. Except, like, this is like World of Warcraft, but the Battlegrounds are the most important thing now. Maybe. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it. I wrote one story on it. But I think it'll be... I'm definitely excited. Hey, we'll get the tribe for free, so...
Yep.
No skin off my back.
Yep.
Next.
So, another Blizzard story here. They have registered a trademark for something called Mists of Pandaria. Now, the last time they did this and people picked up on it, the thing they had trademarked was Cataclysm.
Man, it's just... Do you really think that this is the next expansion?
I think more likely it's going to be a content patch.
That seems more likely, but... And all the content patches do have specific names. People aren't aware of that always. I don't know if they've ever trademarked
them like this.
Maybe it makes a lot of sense, but it's also kind of weird that after constantly raising the stakes in each expansion pack to where at the point now where the world was destroyed, I guess you, like, what are you going to do next? I guess you got to scale back and say, here's the Island of Pandas. That's your next expansion.
Although people have been wanting playable Pandarans for a very long time.
Some people have, but remember Burning Crusade, first expansion. Remember how they announced the Blood Elves right away as the race for
the Horde.
And there was a long time before they announced the Alliance. There are some people who say that the Pandaren were going to be that race, but because of issues with Chinese gamers, they had to drop it because the panda is sacred in China. And I guess they don't take too kindly to us making pandas into super warriors. But I don't know if
they must really hate Kung Fu Panda.
I was about to think that. Maybe that was an complete lie. It could very well be. I think that, I'm sure they could. At this point, I bet Blizzard could get away with whatever they wanted to. But again, isn't that kind of weird? We're going to go from Cataclysm, like, the dragon, to here's the Island of Pandas who talk and they like to drink a lot. Like, what's it going to be?
About? I mean, maybe it might be like a whole new continent. That'd be cool.
They have an island. We don't know where it is, but the secret continent? That's stupid.
Why?
I'm joking. It's like America, remember?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fine. That'd be weird, though. There's a continent the size of, like, maybe Northrend. That's just pandas. I guess
it doesn't have to be just pandas, but, like, that could be, like, where they came from. Okay. There's other stuff, see, there too, so many... including maybe another race that would join the Horde.
Well, but see, here we go again, because Cataclysm just added two races. I would have thought that this would add another hero class and not do races. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised we haven't gotten more of those yet, honestly.
Right, so I don't think it's an expansion. I just don't know. It just seems weird. I almost think it's smart because you're going to have to scale back. You can't just keep going expansion after expansion until, you know, eventually, like, you're flying around in, like, Superman in space shooting at Sargeras with laser beams. Like, that's where it's going to go. Like, you know, we have four more expansions or whatever till we get to level 100, and I assume they'll be done. I assume then you'll fight Sargeras, who's basically World of Warcraft Satan, and win everything. So I guess, like, you know, you got to do an expansion eventually. Isn't it also kind of soon?
Well, to announce it, I mean, if
they're just trademarking,
Blizzard's going to announce something from 2 years out, probably.
It's just weird. Like, what? I just want to know, what are you going to do besides the Pandaren? It just seems weird to me. Like, if you said they're going to do a new expansion and that Pandaren are going to be erasing it, that's, you know, I believe that. If you're going to tell me that the entire expansion is based around the Pandaren, who were initially an April Fool's joke, what? Really? Okay, but what's next?
Let's go to some EA tomfoolery. Let's see. First, they announced the EA Sports Season Ticket.
Nope.
This is going to be a $25 a year program where you get, it's compatible with Madden NFL 12 will be the first game supported. Then in the future, it'll start supporting all the new versions of NHL, FIFA, Tiger Woods, and NCAA.
Well, what does it do?
A few things. You get full access to digital versions of the game 3 days before their retail release. But then you'd still have to go out and buy the physical copy once it comes out. Like, that digital version would stop working, I guess. You get a 20% discount on all DLC, and you enable free premium web content, plus you get branded as a paying customer.
Yeah, sounds not worth it.
It sounds like if you play all of these games fanatically,
I mean, sure,
you buy all this DLC, and, you know, why not? Let's see. Then they also had some corporate shit.
If I ever bought DLC for a sports game, you can just go ahead and kill me.
Okay.
Just go ahead. Take the gun out of your closet. I know it's there. Load up that six chamber.
Squirt gun.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's see. Corporate shakeups happened.
I'm dancing right now.
Stop dancing. Listen to me.
Dancing is the only way I can overcome this heat. I'm not lying. I've been dancing for like 10 minutes. I'm not even joking. I've been over here dancing, talking about pandas. Tell me about corporate shakeup.
Peter Moore is now the COO of EA.
Triple H is the COO of WWE right now.
I knew you were going to say something about that.
COOs are funny to me because they're not CEOs, but it sounds kind of similar.
Hey, man, they're cool.
I see what you did there. Shh. I see what you did there. So, hey, remember when Peter Moore worked for Microsoft?
He worked for Sega.
I always forget about Sega. That's weird.
Yes. Let's see. There were some other people who got moved around the company. The other thing that happened, BioWare has become the official fourth label of EA. And EA 2D has been rebranded as BioWare San Francisco.
Well, those are the guys who made freaking Dragon Age Legends, and they're like the social gaming.
Yeah, they also made like the Mirror's Edge 2D game that's really good.
So wait, that's the fourth brand of EA. So let me figure this out then. So there's EA Sports, there's BioWare,
EA Games.
What is that? Like everything else?
Pretty much, and then there's
EA Kids. What's this? EA Motion?
Shoot, it's wait, I know this one. EA Games, EA Sports, EA Play. So that's like Maxis, The Sims, all that stuff.
Okay, I gotcha. That's weird. Like they have these very specific EA this, EA that, and it's just BioWare. They make RPGs.
And the Old Republic. Did you see the Jedi Consular trailer they released?
No. Is that the one that's the tank?
No. It's the one that's basically like the healer class. It got me all jazzed because the trailer starts with the Force theme, but it's like a new version of it. It's not just like lifted from the films. Whoa. It's really cool.
I'll check it out.
The trailer's excellent because this trailer, more than any of the other ones, really kind of shows some more of the cinematic elements of the game. Which I think is what's going to make that game stand out. I'm just excited for it. I'm jazzed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to get it. I'm just incredibly doubtful that it's going to compete with WoW. But hey, who knows? Maybe people won't be into pandas so much, and they'll have to go over to Star Wars. Now, I was actually on their website not too long ago because I wanted to see what the races are for that game. You can't really find that info though. It's all about the classes.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that.
Also, they still don't have a release date for that thing, so. It's not this year, for sure.
The beta's going on.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, the beta's always going for a pretty long time.
I want to get into it.
Maybe I should, actually. I wonder if I could finagle that.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it be nice if I was in that beta for Star Wars Old Republic? Yo, what's next?
Speaking of MMOs... DC Universe Online is having a server merger.
Whatever. Who cares?
I love it.
If you're playing DC Universe Online, I want to punch you in the face right now for being dumb.
But I love those, how they try to make it sound like a good thing, because it's the Mega Merge.
The Mega Merge! The Mega Merge. That's awesome.
It still cracks you, though. So basically, there's
going
to be one
server for... Star Wars Galaxy isn't going under, it's just getting mega dissolved. The epic conclusion to Star Wars Galaxy when we turn the servers off and you can't play it anymore because nobody liked it.
Yeah.
All right.
I still understand that. There's going to be one server for PS3, one server for PC.
Wow,
why
must be
can't
a pretty
the
popular
two play
game.
Together?
Must be pretty popular to have one server for both. Also, I thought that you were supposed to be able to play with the other people.
No, remember, that was always my point of contention when the game came out and I realized that. Hmm. That was like the one thing I was interested in.
Whoops.
I killed it.
Yeah, that's not a... Man, even The Matrix Online had three servers before it went under. This one's got two. I think World of Warcraft has thousands, so, or at least hundreds.
Yes.
So, yep, not so much there, huh?
No, but let's move on to some good news.
If that was
Borderlands
good
2 is a thing.
What? A sequel to an incredibly successful game? I don't believe it.
I know, craziness, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's proof that new IP can flourish.
Yeah, but now it's new. Now it's not new IP anymore. People will complain about sequelitis.
I know, right?
That's why I always get mad. Everyone's like, people complain about sequelitis, and then Then the new IP comes along, they're very happy, and then it gets a sequel, and then they're like, ah, we need new IPs. You had a new IP! Now they're gonna make sequels out of it. And then in the meantime, they'll complain about how there aren't sequels to other games, just totally contradicting themselves. Like, wow, where's Mirror's Edge 2? Also, where are the new IPs at? Well, you can't have them fucking both now, can you?
Oh, there's rumors of Mirror's Edge 2. I'll talk about that
Yeah,
next.
I saw that. Okay. I'll be happy.
Anyway, back to Borderlands before we get too off track here. Let's see. It's all in Game Informer.
Game Informer basically gets every game reveal now. Like, literally every single one.
Because the country's most popular game retailer tries to get you to buy a subscription to it every time you do anything.
I think the other magazine should literally just give up.
Eh.
Game Informer won. Except for...
Let's see. The game will retain four-player co-op. They're upping enemy and NPC AI. The original player characters from the first game will be NPCs in this one. And the first player class they announced for this one is a dwarf named Salvador, who's a Gunzerker. It means he can dual wield any two weapons in the game.
Whoa. Is his special ability going to let him quad wield weapons?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Where's quad wielding at? How come we haven't gotten there yet?
Oh, no. The Darkness 2 has quad wielding.
Oh, that's true. It did.
Yeah, see?
Quad wielding.
It does. It's not out yet. Anyway, there's also Iridium, a new element which serves as the currency in the games, and you also use it to like upload.
Why'd you just tell me that?
Upgrade weapons and vehicles.
Why'd you just tell me that? That was the stupidest news piece ever. That there's a fictional resource in the game that you use as currency. Shut up!
You know what? You cut me off. It's also what you use to upgrade stuff.
So what? Like, of course it is. There's uranium in this game, and
it's iridium.
What?
I hate you.
Unobtainium. What?
Hey, that's actually a real thing, it turns out.
Oh, wow. Man. Yeah, don't ever tell me anything about the fictional currency of games again, as if that's news.
From now on, I'm gonna
do. You're
it
digging
every
for Borderlands 2 details.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge 2. The rumor is, even though the game isn't announced, that it's going to use the Frostbite 3 engine that's powering Battlefield 3 or Frostbite 2. Whatever one. The new engine that's on Battlefield 3 that looks real good.
It'll be pretty then.
Yeah.
That was a pretty generic sentence. It'll be pretty pretty. It'll be real pretty.
Pretty. Pretty much. Let's see. Wii U. Nintendo has said that they will not be announcing a price or release date until at least in 2012.
Not shocking.
I think they're very nervous about announcing a price for that thing right now.
Yeah, but they were going to announce a price this year anyways. I mean, worth really? In fact, probably not. I mean, fall 2012 would be the earliest, right?
Right. I think so.
We'll get a price at E3.
Let's see, then the Vita has been confirmed to not be launching in the West until 2012, which is dashing hopes that it would come out this holiday.
Mm.
People are calling it a delay. They never announced a date. You can't delay it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because everybody was going on and on about, oh, October. I'm like, you know, October is 2 months from now.
Yeah.
I don't think October's happening, guys. I don't think, that thing's... I mean, let me put it this way. I still think Uncharted has to launch with that thing. That thing came out in October, then that Uncharted game was going to come out before Uncharted 3 did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It'll be like the 3DS. It'll be like February, March, whatever. Then it'll be like, oh, we should just wait until Christmas.
Yep.
Next.
Microsoft is planning to do monthly Xbox Live Arcade Kinect titles.
Oh?
See, I think that's smart, because...
That's smart. Why?
It is. Because, like, Kinect, because it's such like a kind of, how do I want
to
put this?
You know why I never play the Kinect? Because I have to rearrange the furniture in my room in order to do it. I don't care what they put on there. I'm not rearranging my furniture to play the stupid Kinect. So,
my point being that they're like,
but they
developers
lost.
Can take
they're done
risk.
Right there, they're done.
For you.
For me, and for a lot of people, my couch is not abnormally like close to my TV.
Yes, it is.
No,
you have
it's
a 60
not.
Inch TV and you're 3 feet away.
Okay, or maybe the size of the TV.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is I'm sure there's plenty of people who have not a whole lot of space like I do. People don't live in houses anymore. They're all
living
in apartments.
You're going to get that Nyko thing that lets you get closer.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Anyway, the reason I think it's smart is because at least from a developer standpoint, they could try like more experimental kind of things with it that, like, you know, if it's a $10 game, you could try. You know, better than like a $50 or $60
yeah, sure, whatever.
You gotta go out and get.
Where's the Team Meat guys? I want them to yell at you again about liking the Kinect. Or even, why do you even care? Why do you give the Kinect a chance? Why? What is your investment
like
in it, and besides having one?
Well, that's a pretty good one right there. I got it. I mean,
so what I have one, I don't care about it. I hate it. I'm looking at it right now. It's a piece of shit.
Because yours was free.
Sure, I got it for Christmas, but the coolest thing I did with my Kinect was last night when I was watching Star Trek on freaking Netflix, and I saw the microphone down there, and I remembered that I could pause it with my voice, and then I did. And I was like, it's like Star Trek.
That's a great thing.
I don't need a Kinect to do that. I don't need all these cameras and like the freaky weird mechanical neck thing that's always watching me. I just needed a microphone to do that. And that's what it's going to be in Mass Effect 3. Oh, better with Kinect because you can do voice commands. Go to hell. Same thing with, that's what Halo Anniversary Collection is going to be. They even said, like, don't get excited about the Kinect thing. They had to say that. Okay, Xbox. I said Xbox. Name a game that's for Xbox.
Gears of War
3. Nah, yeah, Gears of War or Halo. Can you do Halo or Gears of War with Kinect? No, you're done. You lose.
Okay.
People already don't care about this thing anymore. And they've been terrible with software for it too. And the only game that anyone has said has been any good is Child of Eden. And guess what? No one bought it.
That's very true.
So there.
That is like, is it just me or like have all these hardware manufacturers like forgotten that you need software to play on these things?
For the Kinect
comes out, 3DS comes out. There's like no games.
For the Kinect, I think they literally just don't know what to do. And just watch when. Watch when Fable and Star Wars and, whatever else try to be real games, and I don't think it's going to work. Then they're done. Then it's done. Look, seriously, can we say this? If Fable or Star Wars, if neither of those two games are good, like at least 8, and sell well, that do sell well and be reviewed well, then the Kinect's done.
That could very well
be. It's done. That's it. Goodbye. Okay. Even Nintendo is backing off from this shit because they know you can't do enough with it. They even didn't support the Wii. It's dying soon. They stopped supporting the Wii years ago when they started releasing side-scrolling 2D games for it almost exclusively. What last year? New Super Mario Bros. Wii, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Donkey Kong. Those are all, you just turn the stupid thing on its side like it's a Nintendo controller and shake it maybe to do some extra thing. Could just put another button on there. This seat's probably good for me. True. I'm on fire, man. Haha. I just buried the Kinect. Kinect's done. I just killed it. Yeah, right. Seriously, it's done right now.
Stick a fork in it.
Yep. All right. What's next? What's my next target?
If you want to cheat the system. Walmart is dropping the price of the 3DS early. They're actually going to drop the price on August 9th to $170.
Ah.
Which means you could buy one at the discounted price at Walmart and still become a Nintendo 3DS ambassador by getting online before the end of the
Here's
day.
Here's what drives me crazy. People who have a 3DS right now would be upset if somebody did that, right? Like, it would bother them. Like, oh, they didn't have to do what I did. People need to get the hell over themselves. What does it matter to them? That this guy was able to have something that you didn't. Like, are we 5 years old?
Pride, Mike.
Yeah, seriously, it just is annoying.
Like, that's how World War II started.
If this guy could spend less money and get more games, then all the power to him. Good for him.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Next.
The final thing I have here. At QuakeCon, it announced that they are going to release the Doom 3 source code, which actually has me kind of excited.
Why?
Because every time they do this, actually, like, people manage to go back into these old engines and pull off some pretty cool stuff.
Like what?
Like, when they did it with the original Quake, they did all these awesome, like, realistic lightning shader mods and everything that you could then apply to, like, Team Fortress and the original Quake and everything.
Yeah, okay, but
really good.
What games run off the Doom 3 engine? What is the
Doom 3
engine? Well, Doom 3. Doom 3 sucked when it came out. I'm not going to play it now. I don't care what they do with it.
But that,
Doom 3 was that other game that came out when Half-Life 2 came out. Whoops.
It also means you could use the engine now open source to, fund your own independent game or something.
Well, that's
so someone
fine.
To make their own shooter.
I feel like there'd be a better engine than the Doom 3 engine. I don't know.
Well, it's free.
I feel like there's a better free engine than Doom. Maybe there isn't. Maybe for free, the Doom 3 engine is an awesome choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a game developer. All right. I'm going to sit down now.
Sit down.
I've been standing up this whole time. It's just too hot. I wasn't joking about dancing earlier.
I thought you meant dancing at your seat. I didn't know you were up on your feet.
Yeah, I'm literally pacing around this room like a madman yelling at nobody. All right. Let's go topical. Actually, let's do last week. So, last week, we asked, will the PlayStation Vita have similar or worse problems that launched in the 3DS? Michael, shit. Pallone. Michael said, worse. Sony will get their share of fanboy and hardcore purchases on day one like Nintendo did, but when you factor in the price, which is still high, the fact that the Sony handhelds don't carry as much weight as Nintendo and the general public, and that it appears people are generally moving away from purchasing dedicated handheld gaming devices at the moment, I suspect Sony will have a rough go. All valid points.
Here's the thing, I've been thinking about it more and more, and I think the 3DS is actually starting to kind of prove this point to me. Whether they want to admit it or not, which they don't, they are, Nintendo and Sony, their toughest competition right now is Apple. Because...
You just think it's not because Penny Arcade did a comic about it.
No, I always thought this, because here's why. I mean, listen.
Why?
Listen, shut up.
Yeah, I know why. It's because their games are cheaper, and they're actual portable games. The problem with the 3DS is the games I want to play with it, they're not really portable games, they're just games now. There's almost no distinction anymore.
Right, and the other thing, too, is it's not the price of the hardware, because parents buy a $300 iPod Touch for their kids, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, yeah, the games are cheaper down the line, but that's the thing. $40, I think, in 2011, is no longer an acceptable price point for a game on a handheld. It's not. Especially when the number one selling game on a platform is, you know, granted, an enhanced port, but a port of a 13-year-old game.
Yeah, they are kind of challenging the notions of how much portable gaming needs to cost. Because, yeah, $1 for Angry Birds to $40 for Zelda Time. Like, you know, obviously Zelda Time should be worth more than Angry Birds. Should it be worth 40 times as much as Angry Birds? I don't know.
Even look, I mean, Final Fantasy Tactics finally came out on the iPod Touch and iPhone this week. It's, I think, $16.
That seems...
When that came out on the PSP, it was $40.
Right.
Same game. Same exact game. And that's high for iOS. That's really high.
It's funny how you say $16 for me for an iPhone game. Like, whoa, that's so expensive. But I don't even think about it. Like, oh, $30, 3DS game. Here you go.
Exactly. That's the thing.
You know, maybe...
It's just that different perception in the market.
Maybe they'll have to lower prices. Even if they went down to $30, it might be an easier pill to swallow. But, like, how far can they go down before they just can't, you know, they can't justify it anymore? Because the reason why it's great for them to sell these games for a dollar is because there's such easy impulse buy purchases that everyone's going to buy them. You can't risk selling Ocarina of Time 3D for a dollar. How many people would have to buy it to cover your cost?
Not even a dollar, but $15-$20 at most. I think that's fine.
But, see, again, there's still a notion, though, that if a game was released for the 3DS right now at $20, it's a budget game. It's not good. Zelda would have been a good time to come out and say, no, that's just what a game should cost now. But here's another problem, AJ, is that in order to do this, everybody has to agree on it. You have to get all these developers to say, like, yeah, this is what we're going to do now. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do that. Now, ultimately, the market will decide. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, especially when you look at Vita, I mean, those games cost as much as a PS3 game to make, almost.
Well, sure.
Like, it's almost like, what can you do?
Yeah, there's almost no difference. All right. Okay. So here's this week's slew of questions. So, going back to that Mr. Pandaria thing, you would like to play the next WoW expansion if it was Mist of Pandaria. So we talked about whether it was a good idea or not. Would you be as excited for that, do you think, as you were for Cataclysm?
Not as excited as I was for Cataclysm, just because the premise of that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'll still be psyched to play it. I mean, it's a WoW expansion. I like it.
But is that it? It's just that it's a WoW expansion? Like, the idea of going to Panda Land doesn't necessarily thrill you?
I think it'd be cool. I mean, again, I trust Blizzard to do it in a way that's neat and enjoyable.
Yeah, see, I like the idea of scaling it back. It's just so fucking weird, though.
Pandaria. Well, didn't Blizzard say, too, that, like, they've noticed that they have, like, a huge surge in subscription numbers when an expansion comes out, and, like, 6 months later, the numbers really drop. So maybe they're going to start focusing on, like, not quite as big expansions as the other ones have been, but not, like, content patches. Maybe somewhere in the middle.
That kind of sucks.
Going a little more towards full-size expansion.
Yeah, it sucks, though, because, I mean, I'm sure they're still going to cost $40, and I'm sure, you know, all that business. Right.
Maybe not. Maybe they'll start doing like these $20 smaller expansions or something.
I don't know. Again, it's weird.
Do them like purely digital?
I don't know. That kind of sucks. I don't think some people don't understand how big their content patches are, and I like those fine. But you can get along with those for 2 years. I mean, again, this has to be so far. You can't fight Deathwing right now. You're not even close to being able to fight Deathwing yet. Like, the Cataclysm story is still going on. That's why it's always weird when we hear about these next expansions. It's like, what? Okay.
Like I said, I'm sure it's, like, if anything, at least 2 years away.
Right, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, when Cataclysm was announced, like, we were just fighting Arthas. Like, I don't even think we could fight Arthas yet. It's weird. Okay, so, Twisted Metal is now said to be coming early 2012. Now, I don't know if there ever was a launch date, so I don't know if I want to call it a delay, but I think a lot of people assumed holiday 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So not having there for this holiday is a big hit to Sony's holiday, to be redundant.
I suppose. The thing is, I cannot get myself excited for that game at all.
I think you should. It's shaping up really well. It's a lot of fun. Like, I think Twisted Metal is one... I don't think you realize you missed Twisted Metal until you're playing again. Almost kind of like with this recent Mortal Kombat, where I didn't...
Yeah, that could be.
I didn't realize that I missed Mortal Kombat, and that I wish they brought Mortal Kombat back with, like, dignity and all that stuff. When I played Twisted Metal, not even at this year's E3, I didn't even get a chance to play it then. Last year's E3, I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is Twisted Metal. It feels great. This will be fun. This could be a big thing.
That's a good comparison point.
And I guess, without this, what are their exclusives for this fall will be, you'll have Gears of War in, like, October or September, earlier.
That's Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I switched to Microsoft. Okay, so Resistance is going to be going around the same time as Gears of War, right? Resistance has no chance. Nothing. No. By the way, God, Resistance 3 looks like a turd at E3. Ugh.
It always looked bad. The first level they showed was one where you're on a boat going down a river and guys jump on the boat. That's so tired.
Yeah, isn't it, though? But, I mean, it just, like, not... It plays like a PS2 game, and it almost looks like a PS2 game. Mm. Like, and maybe I'm being a little critical, but it just, ugh, it did not appeal to me at all. So, that, I don't know. I guess, like, once again, somebody must like Resistance. I have never met this person. But they're on the third one. I assume somebody's buying them. Okay, and then, and then they have Uncharted. November. And,
yay!
And Uncharted is going to compete against multi-platform games. Is Microsoft going to have something, like, in November? What else does Microsoft have besides Gears of War?
I know this one.
Do you? Let me think about their booth.
I feel like I do.
There's a Forza game coming out, right?
Yeah, Forza.
The Halo Anniversary Edition, I guess.
Halo Anniversary, yeah.
Maybe,
which will do pretty well for itself, I think.
Right. So I guess maybe right now they're pretty even with exclusives. I think Twisted Metal would have really put PlayStation over the edge, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wii is so only going to have.
I mean,
what's that?
Call of Duty, because Call of Duty, I mean, multi-plat, yeah, but traditionally it's always done better on Microsoft.
Right. Yeah. There's plenty of big games, Call of Duty. Skyrim will be on both. Battlefield 3 will be on both. So, yeah. Yep. And we will have Zelda. It'll be interesting to see how this Zelda does to me.
I agree.
Because it's on a platform that is practically dead. And once this game comes out, it will be dead. It'll get, like, maybe a Kirby game, which does look like fun or whatever, but, they've already moved far beyond the Wii. And it doesn't stand up as nearly as much excitement for this one as past Zelda games. At all.
I think it's just because it is coming out for a system on life support.
Right. I think everybody at this point wants to see an HD Zelda game. All right. Next. It's not fair to be forced to have a constant interconnection in order to play Diablo 3. We kind of talked about this, but do you think it's fair? Or not fair? I mean, I guess... Go ahead.
The only argument I could come up with is, like, because I know people did this with Diablo 2, people do it with Torchlight. People like to put these games on, like, their laptops and even netbooks and play it almost as, like, a kind of on-the-go sort of thing. That's the only instance I could see where people are going to get a little screwed over.
Right. I mean, yeah, fair is a whole different thing. I guess you could say maybe it's not. Like, you're going to spend however much you're going to spend on this thing. You should be able to play it whenever you want to, I guess. But, once again, it's their game, and, you're going to go in knowing what it is. Yeah, it's hard to find it as fair or not. Again, for me, I feel like it's not going to affect me personally. But, yeah, it's probably going to suck for somebody. All right. You're excited for Borderlands 2. We know it's announced. You actually care.
Yeah, the first Borderlands is great.
I did not play a lot of the first Borderlands. But I'm having a hard time caring. And I kind of
really
like
bummed. I'd started like playing it again on when I got the PC version real cheap, and then when my hard drive crashes, the only thing I was not able to back up was my Borderlands save file. Really?
So maybe we'll start it over again at some point, play through it.
Yeah. Because I started playing the sniper, and I actually really, really liked playing it.
Well, the sniper has the best special ability. He just has that bird that goes out and kills everybody.
Yeah, which is really freaking cool.
Right.
And I just come to realize I like sniping, and like RPG-ish shooters, like, you know, Fallout and Borderlands, I like sniping in them a lot.
Sure. Okay. See, my problem with, I like sniping a lot too, but I feel like there's too many situations where you just can't snipe. It's hard to justify being a sniper. A dedicated
I never really found that to be a problem.
Like in caves? I don't know.
No, that was fine.
All right, so here's the last one. Community question also. $150 is too much for a special edition. I'm talking about the Oblivion special edition. What the hell, man?
I mean, you're getting a statue, I guess, but I don't want a statue.
I just want the soundtrack.
I just want the
art book, the making of DVD. At least give me that option.
Like the middle of the road one that's like $80.
Which is like,
I know, I mean, Call of Duty does it. Halo did it with, you know, like have the legendary, but then they also have the collectors or hardened or whatever they call it. Like, yeah, I don't need a dragon statue that literally costs $90.
Seriously, like, yeah, you know, it's one thing if it was something cool, like, but that with Mortal Kombat, you got like those cool bookends of Scorpion and Saber. Like to anybody who just looks at this thing, they're just going, "Hey, it's a dragon statue." I'm not gonna scream Oblivion at them.
Skyrim.
It's not something so entirely unique. I don't want that. This is twice as much, more than twice as much as the game just normally costs. How I'm not? You can't justify it. I would have bought a special edition for like $80 or something. Like maybe $100 if it was a good special edition. But this one should still cost $100. $150? What? Yeah, no way. Good luck with that. You have fun with that one. Good luck. I'm kind of tired. Like, I don't mind special editions, but I'm getting tired of these, the legendary editions. And
well, I mean, honestly, they need to scale these back, because you could still walk to Best Buy, and you will see a stack of Halo Reach legendary editions.
I think somebody got one for $20 not too long ago.
Oh, really? Because I was going to say, they still cost, like, $90. Oh, really? Bucks.
Maybe they do. Because, like, well, ugh. Yeah, I hate those things. So, let us know what you think about that. And, let us know on our Facebook. I'm actually going to put it on there right now, because I have a bad habit of just forgetting about them. I don't know when you get the show on. In the meantime, though, AJ, what'd you play this week?
Well, I played all kinds of stuff, actually. First and foremost, I finally beat Back to the Future of the game. I finished episodes 4 and 5 the other day.
Well, I didn't beat 5, so you can't say anything about episode 5.
I won't, except to say that it's the best one of the five, for sure. There's a cameo that's awesome.
Yeah, I know what the cameo
and,
is.
Yeah, it's really good. Just, I like the way it ended. I like just the whole thing. I thought they did a really, really, really good job with that. So, good to Telltale, because that was really fun. I like that game a lot. Let's see. I played the trial for From Dust, just so I could actually get my hands on it.
I mean, yeah, you're kind of watching me beat it, so.
Yeah. It's really cool, though. I love the physics in the game. It just looks so good. Mm-hmm. Like, when that tsunami comes and, like, hits the rappel water thing, it's really cool looking.
Did you get a chance to play Bastion yet?
That's my next game, and I bought Bastion, and I'm, like, halfway through it.
No, Bastion's awesome.
It's awesome!
Yeah.
Seriously, I kind of intentionally kept myself in the dark on it when I heard how important this narrator was to the game, because, like, I didn't want to hear anything he said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't realize he was, like, sounded like this awesome cowboy.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't really look like one, he sounds like it.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, I can't believe it took this long for something like that to happen. Like, when you play it, it feels so obvious. Like, how did we not think of this years ago?
It's cool, and he, like,
to just have and the thing is, like, when they first said it, I think a lot of people thought, like, he was going to narrate everything you did. Like, he swings his sword, he picks up gold.
Not necessarily.
Like, but it doesn't. No, it doesn't do that
there
at all.
There are context-sensitive things that are neat. Like, there's a moment where, like,
yeah,
if you have to run away from something, you start rolling because you realize that's faster. He'll pick up on that and comment, you know, stuff like that. But the cool thing about it is that he never repeats himself. And he talks a lot.
He never repeats himself.
Like, you can go back to the challenge area and have something different to say about it. If you fail a level and restart again, his introduction to the level is different that time. It's very neat.
And then, what I like too is, like, he's not a completely unreliable narrator, but he's withholding information and revealing future bits of information. It's just it's a fantastic storytelling mechanic. Because, I mean, the game itself, it's good. It's better than average as far as that genre goes.
But the thing that
keeps you playing it is that story and finding out what's going on.
Well, I think you,
I mean, the mythology for the world is excellent.
Right. You can make a game that's, you know, a pretty good whatever, in this case action RPG, but you can do other elements that are unique or look really good that can elevate it to a great game. That's, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, the action RPG elements, it's what you would expect. You know, you level up, you do all this stuff, but the art style of the world, the music, the narrator, you know, just, and some of the other neat things they do, that's what elevates it to really just make it this really awesome experience.
The other thing I really like in the game too is how none of your decisions are permanent. You can respec and reconfigure whatever you want.
Yeah, game type wise, I know what you mean. Yeah, there's a lot of cool.
That's great.
Yeah, the buildings, there's a lot of things. There's the one building where you basically have like the skulls from Halo 3 to add difficulty.
Mm-hmm. You can modify the weapons. There's three tiers of mods with a left and right side. You can switch those sides whenever you want. Every time you level up, you can.
Yeah, you know, I think I went into too much detail about how everything works. I mean, I think I talked about this that episode you weren't here.
No, you didn't. I don't think so. I listened to the episode.
I talked about Bastion.
I don't think you got that into it.
Well, okay, go ahead.
I don't know. But yeah, yeah. It looks gorgeous. Like you said, the music is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just a really, really, really good game.
It is, and it keeps up that pace throughout the end. Good ending and all that stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun. One thing I really love, too, is the weapon challenge rooms.
Yeah, they're hard as fuck, though, some of them.
Oh, I got them all. No, that's not true. I didn't get the last one. It was pretty fucking hard. But the last one is basically tower defense.
Oh, sweet.
Kind of.
I was going to ask you something. Oh, what have you kind of settled in as your favorite weapon combination?
I think towards the end, I was always doing hammer and the scatter gun, which is basically the shotgun.
Okay. I've been doing the bow and arrow and the hammer because I like how it has a dot effect on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was I was using the scatter gun almost as my primary attack.
Okay.
Kind of
I love too, like, whenever you find a new weapon, if you then find an arsenal and switch back to your old one, then there was like, can't switch back to something more suited his style.
Right.
I was like, that's just so cool.
Yeah, it's just a lot of cool things. Yeah, I love that game. Can't believe still. I mean, this is totally unrelated, but I think Jim Sterling has reviewed all of these, some of our kid games so far. I think he's given them all like five
or six. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How do you objectively give that game a bad review?
He claimed that it was, that it looked and played like a free-to-play MMORPG.
The fuck is he talking about? It's a gorgeous hand-drawn experience with really well-done, randomly generated levels.
I don't even know what he means. Haters gonna hate.
I guess.
I haven't tried.
Game looks freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, I haven't tried Insanely Twisted Shell. Yeah, I know, that's crazy. I guess just because it looks hand-drawn, to him, he equates that with, like, some, like, Wakfu or whatever that thing is, or Maple Story, I don't know. I haven't tried Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet yet.
I have it downloaded, but I didn't get to you. I kind of expected just to play the trial for Bastion so I could, like, feel it out. And then, like, that little thing came up, do you want to buy it? I was like, God, yes.
Yeah, I'll be
I played it for five more hours.
I'll be surprised if anything's going to be as good as Bastion. Honestly, after it's like Twisted Shadow Plan, I don't think there's anything else I'm really all that interested in the Summer of Arcade. I think it's just a Kinect fruit cut or whatever that is. And then that Toy Soldiers game.
Mm-hmm.
Meh. All right, did you play anything else?
That's it for me.
What did I do? I mean, I had a... been babysitting this 5-year-old cousin a lot lately, and all she wants to do is play Mario games with me. We've, like, played through New Super Mario Bros. Wii, and, like, it would be fun, but, like, she doesn't actually play with me. She just, like, you know how you can, like, go in a bubble in that game? Just kind of float around?
Yeah.
Just go in the bubble and then boss me around. Like, I can't just beat the game. I have to hit...
I heard you the other day with, like, she died and she wanted you to restart the level, so I heard you just kill yourself, but then she made fun of you for dying?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, she'll mock me for not doing a good enough job. You know, and she can't even, you know, run. She hasn't mastered holding down a button. It's too critical. I gotta hit every block. I can't just beat the game. I gotta hit every block. If I have the fire power, if I have the fire flower, and I hit another fire flower there, she will scream until I grab it. Like, she thinks they stack. I've explained to her that they don't. She does not believe me. So I gotta get them all. She's like, oh, now you have double fire power. I'm like, no, I don't. I have the same exact amount of firepower. They have the time I'll kill myself because I got to get these power ups I do not need or want. But I beat it. I never beat it before. Man,
that's good.
I think I should be commended. I basically played the game in very hard mode, as far as I'm concerned. The ending was cool, though. I never got to it before. It was like a riff on the end, like the final boss from the original Super Mario Brothers. Like, you get to the bridge, and then, like, he'll come, but then, like, he gets giant, and he just chases you for a while. It's basically just, like, escaping from him. It's pretty neat.
Huh.
Just good old challenging platforming.
Yep.
Did I play? Oh, I started up Torchlight again. I don't want to go on too long, because it's Torchlight by now.
It's a good game.
It's good. It's funny, though.
Wait, were you playing on your computer or on
computer.
Xbox?
Apparently, they say that Torchlight 2 may not come out on Xbox Live Arcade because it's too big, but that's unrelated.
Yeah.
But it's because, I'll always start playing Torchlight, play it a few times, get to, like, level 10, then not play it for 4 more months. Then I'll want to play Torchlight again. I'll try to go back to my old character, but have no idea what all these powers are I have, or what's going on in the story, what my quests are. So I just have to start from the beginning, like, every time.
What class were you playing this time?
This time I'm the Alchemist. Yeah, the Alchemist.
Yeah, that guy's sweet.
See, now, one thing that I found interesting, though, is I felt like there were some things the game did to try to be so different from Diablo. Like, they put too many features in it that I just don't use some of them. Like, just that whole thing where you can feed your dog fish and it can turn to animals. I never used that once. I see no need to. Like, the dog itself is moving. Actually, that's a problem I'm having so far right now, is that it's actually almost too easy. And I'm a guy, I have a hard time bumping the game up to hard mode for some reason. Even if I'm having such an easy time on normal mode, I feel like if I go to hard mode, I just won't stand a chance. Then I'll have to go back from hard to medium, and then I'll feel like a loser.
Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, yep. Can't brash my ego. Is that a word, brash?
No.
Damn it. I had this problem, too. I bought The Witcher 2 because it was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I shouldn't play The Witcher 2 without playing the first The Witcher.
Right. It does import your save file and all
right.
that stuff.
So I guess I got to play through just The Witcher. So I have to buy that for like $20 on here.
Oh, yeah, you don't own it yet?
What?
You don't own it yet?
You know, it's weird because I could have sworn I was playing it at one point.
Probably my copy.
Maybe. I guess so. Can I just play your copy still?
No.
Why not? How's it work?
I don't know. You have to sign in my Steam account, which you know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can buy the Enhanced Edition Director's Cut for $20, apparently.
That's not bad. What was that?
That was because I clicked on it in Steam and started playing the trailer automatically.
Ah.
It's daunting, though. It's like, I basically have to play 30 hours of this game so I can play the game I want to play.
It's a good game, at least.
I guess so. It's supposed to be hard.
Well, play it on easy. Say, here's
you know,
the
maybe
play
I will. I just might.
Just play it on easy so you can just get through it and enjoy it.
I basically just want to get through it and make the moral decisions. I just might.
Right.
First,
there you go.
I need $20 first, then I'll get it. All right, then. I feel like this has been a long episode, but apparently we're about normal so far.
Yeah, not too bad.
I feel like I've been yelling and screaming for a while, but yeah. All right, let's find out what's coming out this week, if anything. I have to actually open
it. Do we have to? Because I'm looking at the list, and it's not much.
I want
to
see. Yeah, I think the only interesting thing coming out this month is
Deus Ex and Madden.
Oh, I actually want to get Madden this year because that Browns guy is on it. Yeah, we have Fruit Ninja Connect. Man, this is...
Spy Kids game for the DS.
This is literally the worst week of gaming I've seen since we started doing this podcast. This is literally the worst one. There is nothing on here. Wow. Like, there's some game called Edge that is an indie game, so maybe it's okay.
Oh, no, Edge is awesome. It was an iPhone game. It's really good. I don't know how well it would play on a computer, and, like, half the fun was the touchscreen control of it, but...
Man, this is sad. I'm going to look the next week right now just to be comforted. We have something, well... Okay, next week looks better. There's franchises here. Oh, yeah, next week's going to be a lot better. So have hope. I mean, normally I would just think it was a normal week, but compared to that last week, next week's going to be amazing. So what do you think about Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked for the 3DS?
I don't know anything about it at all. What is it?
Well, Devil Survivor was a DS game. It was,
is that the one that's like first person?
I think so. Kind of like the old school kind of, yeah, almost like Dragon Quest style. But it's supposed to just be a really good, you know, Shin Megami Tensei, they make pretty quality stuff usually. Those are good RPGs. And now here's one for the 3DS. Mm-hmm. And it's a port of a DS game, I guess, with, like, now it has full voice acting, almost like just one of the Persona games. I feel like if you need a 3DS game, this will be pretty good. Something to tide you over until this fall with Mario and Mario Kart. I assume Star Fox will also be this fall. How long could a port of that game take?
Star Fox is September 9th.
Okay. I'm surprised you know that so well. But cool.
Well, it was September 11th, and they pulled it ahead.
Yeah, yeah. A game where you fly around shooting bombs is not so much fun on September 11th, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I went there. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
So if you haven't figured it out by now, Sunday is now the new day. As we're wont to do every few months, we change when the show comes out. So it's going to be Sunday now, everybody.
Well, that's good, because then you'll have it, you know, let's be honest, it'll probably go up on Sunday nights. So, you mm-hmm. know.
Because nothing comes out on Sunday. You know, this way you got it for Monday for your morning commute, and you're set to go.
Yeah. That's very true.
Hopefully by now you've already listened to Weekend Confirmed, so you got that out of the way.
You know what's weird? I used to be such a podcast guy. I haven't listened to anybody podcast but our own in, like, years.
So hypocritical, Mike.
I'm not hypocritical. I just, and this was all, like, I've literally ever since we started doing the podcast, I don't listen to other people's podcasts anymore, because I'm so afraid of repeating other people's ideas. I want to be original.
Fair enough.
I want to be original. I was on fire today, man. I'm not going to lie. I deserve a fucking trophy for my performance today. I destroyed the Kinect. Like, the Kinect.
Well, the Teen Choice Awards are on today. You could go crash that there party. You go.
I think John Cena and The Miz are there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. This, man, you were lucky. You got a good show today. Nothing to complain about. Yeah. Man.
Hey, we're coming up on our birthday here. What day is that?
That is in August, isn't it?
It is. I always forget this.
Wait, is that the
hang on, let me go.
Is that the 3rd or the 4th?
Vamp for a second. It's 4 years? Holy
no.
shit. No. Yeah, we started this in 2007.
Jesus.
Wow.
We have got...
I don't think I've... I haven't even dated girls this long. We're so committed.
We have got to be the longest running, like, non-affiliated gaming podcast.
Major Nelson has us beat. I think that's about
He's affiliated with Microsoft.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. August 24th, 2007 was our first show. So the birthday, let's see. We won't have a show on the 24th, but we'll have a show the 21st and the 28th.
We'll do it on the 21st. What the hell? That'll be the
All right.
4-year anniversary. Jeez.
Great. And then in September, we'll get to our 200th episode.
No, now, see, I feel like we can't celebrate the 3-year anniversary, I mean, the 4-year anniversary and the 200th episode.
They're a month apart. It's not like the 100th where it was, like, almost right on the anniversary. I mean, they're enough apart.
We did a big deal for the 100th episode.
Oh, I got surprises in store for 200. Just you wait.
Like, for me?
For everybody.
We're relaunching everything.
Whoa, hey, that's a surprise.
That's a tease. Don't get attached to that logo.
What?
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com for now. And you can also find us.
Oh, this is killing me.
Also find us on facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Go there and answer the weekly community question, which again is $150 too much for a special edition. Kind of a, I can't imagine anybody's gonna say no, but you know, but tell me why and how you yes. would handle special editions or whatever. And you can also find us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here in the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I'm gonna watch Iron Chef.
Nice.